So are we going to put that in the principle? My point is, are we going to stand on what Jesus said and what Paul said, or are we going to take it and refine it down into some principles that perhaps have left something out of what Jesus said? And I brought this up Monday night. Ron wrote the three up here, and I said, I think then that where we're disagreeing is over the pattern. Because when I read Matthew 5:32 and 19:9, I see something left out of the pattern on the board there. You and I both agree it's not matter what matters to us, it's what matters to God, that it's not up to us to define what are scruples. God defines those things. In fact, if we even look at Romans 14, they had a scruple over eating meat. But you know what? The people who received Romans knew upon reading Romans 14 that it was okay to eat meat, but some of them still couldn't. They had a conscientious scruple about it, even though they now knew the truth about it. I want us to remember the context then about Romans 14. There was a truth on eating meats, and they knew after reading the chapter. But they also knew then not to offend a brother in it. Let us open our Bibles together then, and look at what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 32. Matthew 5 and 32. Ron had a lesson, a good lesson, Tuesday night, on chapter 5. And in verse 31, Jesus said, "Furthermore, it has been said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that whoever divorces his wife for any reason except sexual immorality causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a woman who is divorced commits adultery." We understand that the Lord is saying, men, don't go divorce your wives. If you go and divorce your wife for, as we sometimes say, burning the bread, and Ron and I discussed this Thursday about whether it was more specific than just a silly thing like that. But for any reason other than sexual immorality, burning the bread, if you do that, then you cause her to commit adultery and you'll not be held guiltless. On the other hand, if you divorce her for her fornication that she's committed, you're not the cause of her adultery when you put her away. The idea is, of course, that this woman goes and remarries. We see that from the last part of the verse. And whoever marries her who is put away commits adultery. We can preach that if a man divorces his wife except for fornication, he causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries her who is put away commits adultery. Now some will say she doesn't commit adultery. She doesn't commit adultery if she remarries. If she's remained, and I don't know what the qualifications are because they're not written here. If you can find them, show them to me. But if she remains innocent, or if she protested the divorce, I don't know what all they are because they're not written. But if she did, then if this man gets that divorce anyway, sunders the marriage, then if he goes and remarries, maybe that gives her the right to remarry now. Never mind that Jesus said, He causes her to commit adultery, and whoever marries her who is put away commits adultery. Something changed after the divorce. Jesus said, a divorce, not for fornication, you cause her to commit adultery when she remarries. I don't have a time limit in there. You can't see it in your Bible either. Whether she waits a year, 5 years, 2 days, maybe she's got someone on the line. I don't know. Maybe he's got one too. I don't know. But Jesus gives a consequence. He gives a consequence to divorcing your wife. Well, let's look at Matthew 19, verses 3 through 9. Matthew 19, verses 3 through 9. The Pharisees also came to him, testing him and saying to him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason? And he answered and said to them, have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh?